We are continuing in our series of testimonies, telling it like it is. We're going to be doing two more of these, one more after today. Then it's going to be our church retreat weekend, and then we're going to shift to a different thing. But we, as a session, I brought it up with a session this Thursday, and we talked about continuing this because it has been quite rich and quite powerful, not just to listen to someone else, but even for those who have shared a testimony of God's purpose and power, they have been blessed, whether they wanted to do it originally or not. And it is truly, God has shown up. And it has been a joy, and it is a joy, to see the different connections that God continues to make, and a reminder that all too often we don't say the things we want to one another, or we don't know these things about each other, even though we know each other. I think of that scripture from 1 Corinthians we read, talking about being known fully as God knows us. And I think that's an invitation that the testimony practice has given us. So we're going to be trying to do that each month, and we'll do that on the first Sunday of the month to coincide with our communion celebration, being aware of the time and making sure that I don't keep you here till dinner. So if you'd be interested in that in the future, please speak to me. I tried to kind of subversively choose and reach out to different people throughout the summer to raise up voices we don't always hear, to maybe do different things. But if you have a testimony that you'd like to share in the coming months, and I mean, who knows, maybe this will only last till October. Maybe this will go on till who knows when. But come and let me know if you would like to do that in the coming months. We're grateful today for Janet as she's sharing a testimony of an experience of God's person, power, or passion. And as we prepare to welcome her up, we're going to listen for God's living word today in the scripture, in her testimony, and in between too, in the silence between the words. And so our scripture this morning comes from John chapter 9, verses 13 to 33. This is the middle section of a story about a man who was born blind. He is healed, and then he has some crazy interactions with Jesus and his parents and the leaders of the religious community. And then Jesus sets him on the right path at the end. And we are reading the middle section of that story. So if you want to read the whole thing, it's John chapter 9. It's on page 1039. And the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. And so I invite you to listen for the word of God. And they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened this man's eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask Jesus, ask the man how he had received his sight. And the man said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for Jesus does not observe the Sabbath." But others of the leaders said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And the leaders were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that the man had been blind and had received his sight until they called for his parents. And they asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" The man's parents answered, saying, "We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but we don't know how he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the religious leaders, for they had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents had said, "He is of age. Ask him yourself." So for the second time, the leaders called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." The blind man answered, I don't know whether he is a sinner, but one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And the man answered them, I told you already, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And then they reviled the man, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from. And the man, formerly blind, answered, saying, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but God does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone could open the eyes of a person born blind. If this man wasn't from God, he could do nothing. This is the word of the Lord. As we invite Janet to come up, I want to invite you to some silence in which we can be praying for her, sending love to her, encouragement, grace, praying that we might hear God's voice through her voice and through the scripture that she has suggested, in which it said, I once was blind, but now I see. So may we hear the voice of God. Okay. Are you Googling the answers?
I wish. He's a tough act to follow. Okay, here goes it. I was brought up Catholic during the 60s and 70s. My spiritual education occurred during the time of Vatican II. It was supposed to be a time of renewal of faith, but sadly, that time had the opposite effect on me. I started to see things that made me question the church and my faith. Not finding the answers that made sense to me, I moved away from the church. I believed in God, but felt like I was treading water without an anchor to hold me in place or a North Star to guide me. I would reach out to God during challenging times and ask for help or guidance. I even promised that if he helped me, I would come back. But I never kept my promise. 6 years ago, I became friends with a woman of faith. The depth of her belief perplexed me and intrigued me at the same time. Where did this strength of conviction come from, and how did she sustain it? I began to ask her questions and started taking classes on the religions of the world. Two things became clear from our conversation in the class. There seems to be a universal desire to connect to something higher and greater than ourselves. And that belief provides a spiritual foundation to those who believe. So I started asking more questions. The more my friend answered my questions, the more I wanted to know and understand. One day while we were reviewing some things from the Bible, something happened. I don't remember really what she said, but what I do know is when she said it, I felt something hit me on a seismic level, deep into the core of my being. In that moment, I knew the presence of God was inside of me, and it was overwhelming. I was blind, and now I could see. My brain began to swirl with ideas and struggled to keep up with the amount of information that was being processed. It was like all the blind spots in my memory were being filled in at Mach 10. I could see him. He'd been there all along, patiently waiting for me to come home to him. When I thanked my friend for her patience and guidance, she said, I'm just the vessel for the message. The message. Well, I thank God for delivering the message in such a kind and loving vessel. It took me months to wrap my head around the feelings of feeling worthy of his love. There are still days that I struggle with. Sorry, I'm getting blurry. There are still days that I struggle to feel worthy. On those days, I'm learning why it's called a leap of faith. People chuckle with me now when I call my faith my spiritual yoga. But like yoga, I find there is a beautiful fluidity in the movement of God's grace. That movement led me to this church and to this community the day before Thanksgiving last year. At the end of Thanksgiving weekend, I called my friend to tell her I found my church. Her response was filled with joy in her voice. God's plan keeps me grounded and centered. And like yoga, my spiritual strength deepens by practicing my faith every day. Thank you for listening. Okay. I know. Thank you.
As Janet's returned to her seat, it's always fun because I see little bits of the story. I met her at our Thanksgiving dinner. I showed up and she was behind the serving table right in the middle of everything. And she met some people from Chickwindu's family. And they helped bring her in. And she had spoke to me. I don't know if it was that day or she came to church on Sunday and then she wanted to get together and talk. And she said to me, you know, I think your church, the people really do what you say. Not what I say, but what God says. We're going to work on that. And it really is a testimony to how God moves in our lives, but also how God moves through your lives. Because part of what Janet was sharing is how she saw God through us. As well as through Rhonda, who we pray for, who is in her last days. So let's take a moment of silence to give thanks to God for how God always shows up to give us sight when we cannot see. Stand as we are able for our responsive song.